This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
For people who are getting into Bigfoot lore now, and we always are asked this about UFOs, we might as well cover this with regard to this subject. What's a starting point? What should they look for, listen to, follow up on to get a smattering of what's going on?
Woodknots, Volume 1. Seriously, you know, I get asked that question all the time. I think a great starting point is Jeff Meldrum's Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science. That's a great book. Sasquatch. He's talking about research.
Because there's a lot of ways. It depends on, what you want to look into. Meldrum's book is obviously more science-y based, and something like John Green, you know, Sasquatch, the Apes Among Us, is more, you know, just kind of give you a overview of sightings, you know, and the depth of this mystery.
That was my first book, which I still have.
There's a lot of good books out there. I mean, there's just been so many.
Lyle's book on Boggy Creek, man, I got to plug that. I think this is one of the best books in the field easily and within the last 10 years because, you know, the that film, almost everybody, you know, within our age range that's in this field now will cite that as one of their early influences. And I remember seeing that in the drive-in. And, you know, it was just, it was mind-boggling and eye-opening at the same time. Up until that time, you know, all of the reports I had heard about Sasquatch were coming out of the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, now here's this movie based on true events about a creature that's roaming around, you know, Arkansas. And that was pretty cool to me. It was, you know, like I said, it was really eye opening. I was like, oh my gosh, these things are other places too. And no one had really dug in and examined, you know, the whole thing, the reports and all the aspects of the Falk Monster until Lyle did it. So I, you know, full disclosure, Lyle's a really good friend of mine, but I swear this book is just, it's outstanding. It really is.
So we don't use Harry and the Hendersons as an example of learning about Bigfoot.
No. Well,
well, some in the field might. You know,
it reflects some, you know, real aspects of it with the Bigfoot hunter and the guy who owns the museum. Those are very real things even today. But you know, there's just a lot out there. And thank you, David, for your comments on the Beast of Boggy Creek. I think in some ways, you know, my book appealed to a broader audience because it, you know, was talking about a cult classic horror film as well. And I know I've kind of opened eyes because somebody who's read that reads my book and sees, wow, there's some truth behind this. And this is, you know, while it was an entertaining film, it was based on real life reports that turned out to be something that has continued on in that area. And I think people that read my book thought, oh, this is level headed. And wow, if that's true, well, I want to look into Bigfoot. And I've had people follow up and ask me, well, what else should I read? That's great. This is cool stuff. And so, yeah, I started referring them to John Green and, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, you just kind of branch out as you go.
Let's turn that around. What should they avoid in learning about Bigfoot? The books or the researchers who are not really advancing the cause of learning more about these creatures?
Shaking their moneymaker.
Exactly. Hoping to make money from it, which, of course, in these fields doesn't happen very often.
I'd weigh in and say if you're just starting in the field and you're interested, focus before you're out there in the field. Focus on some solid research with the titles that we've mentioned and avoid a couple of things. One, sitting for hours watching, you know, purported Bigfoot footage on YouTube. you know, avoid examining the blob squatch photos and all those types of things. And, you know, sidestep some of the reality shows for now. They're, within the field in general, whether it's cryptozoology or hauntings or whatever, we've got a whole generation that's coming up terming themselves investigators and using as their credential the fact that they've seen, you know, every episode of Finding Bigfoot or, you know, Ghost Adventures or what, you know, fill in the blank. Those shows, while there is a side of validity to them, they are entertainment, and they're not true representations of what it's like to actively look for this creature.
Yeah, I agree that don't get caught up in those lobsquatch videos and trying to analyze those things. It's just kind of a waste of time. Those are not of the quality to prove anything. Look into the Patterson film. Obviously, that's something to know about. There's Bill Munns has written a good book on that. There's plenty of books. But yeah, I mean, you know, if somebody's got their notepad out, here's a couple of names to look up. John Green, you know, Jeff Meldrum, of course, Dr. Grover Krantz, K-R-A-N-T-Z, and Lauren Coleman has a great book, Bigfoot, The True Story of Apes in America is one, and the Bigfoot Case book. Those give you a good, you know, solid view of what's going on out there, and then you can just sort of use that to branch off. You've got some knowledge, some background, and then when you look at these, you know, blob squatches, you got a little more buffer zone between that and good writing and good research.
Right, and do keep in mind, this is a worldwide phenomenon. There are these types of reports on virtually every continent, except maybe Antarctica, on the planet. And Hatchett Childress's book, Sasquatch, Yetis, and Hairy Giants, I think is a good book that gives you a well-rounded look at the Almasty, the Yetis, the Wild Men, the Orang Pendek. There's a number of very famous cultural examples of these creatures all over the world. So, again, this isn't just a North American phenomenon. This is a worldwide phenomenon. And there is a bit of a research curve. And I think anyone that's coming into the field and is interested in this subject should have a well-rounded knowledge of how this is manifesting elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, Chris.
Well put.
Let's kind of shake it up here a little bit. We do have some questions at the question bank here at the Paracast. If you want to write questions and post them in our question bank, we'll read them out and ask our guests for you. This one goes to Lyle. You know, we were talking blob squatches. Here's another phenomenon that seems to have taken on a life of its own. Lyle, YouTube is rife with videos of people, usually of influence and power, inadvertently being caught allegedly slightly shape-shifting. To give you an example, their eyes become elongated like lizards. I've even been accused of being a lizard person, believe it or not.
Wait a minute. Ooh, stop.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, there was
hold the phone here, folks. Okay, a lizard person, Chris O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard many things about you. I've heard grumpy Chris.
Yeah, I'm
political Chris. And now, Lizard Chris. He's a reptilian.
Yeah.
That was going to be my follow-up to Lizard Man was
yeah.
Chris Man, the reptilian.
This explains all those Bloody Marys you were drinking down at UFO Congress when we were down there, Chris.
Oh, okay. Virgin Marys, but who's squabbling? Well, what do you think? Other than the fact that obviously they're dealing with gross YouTube compression of the video, and you're seeing pixels jumping all over in any video, what do you make of this particular kind of phenomenon? And the last part of the question says, have you ever seen one that gave you pause? I have.
Honestly, I'm not really. It's like the blob squatches. I just don't look much into that because it's just there's just no way to tell. I mean, I'm quite familiar with all the theories and the reptilian thing, and having written Lizard Man, I have to go into that territory. But you know, I just don't find it offers much solid proof of anything, those videos. You know, I would have to see a much more drastic transformation of one of these lizard creatures. And, you know, possibly that's, if they do exist, that is their forte, is to not reveal very much. But I don't find anything in those videos to give me any kind of solid proof of anything. It's just like the blob squatches. It's looking for things in places where it may or may not exist.
Let's break here, folks. We've got Lyle, David, Gene, and Chris slithering to our next segment. You're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning Graphic Converter 10, the universal genius for photo editing apps on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for the Swiss Army Knife app. It gives you all the features that you expect, and most important, it's easy to use. You can get it for just $39.95 from www.lemkesoft.com. That's www.lemkesoft.com. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Is that like the creature from Lord of the Rings or something? My precious.
I was trying to get the long S in there, with a little clicky T at the end. Moving right along. You know, again, folks, when you're looking on the internet, assume a mundane explanation. And like Lyle said, unless it's something that's just, you know, you'll probably hear about it before you'll see it if it's real. chances are, because it'll be so sensational. But, you know, just assume that these things are not real and assume there's a mundane explanation before you begin sharing these things, liking them, and giving them more legs that they don't deserve. And I think our guests would agree with that. David, we have a question from one of our recent guests on the show, Walter Bosley, who's author of a number of books that look at the Great Airship Wave and a possible breakaway civilization that may have been responsible for some of these sighting reports back in the 1890s. He's an ex-investigator for the Air Force and the FBI, counterintelligence expert, and we're very grateful to have him asking questions on our question bank. So Walter says, you know, he confesses that he's not personally familiar with the details of your black-eyed children research or the BEK phenomenon. So he says, forgive my ignorance, but what have you found, if anything, in comparative analysis of this phenomenon and these reports and those of fairy folklore? Have you found some sort of cool, Magonian type connection between the BEK phenomenon and fairy reports from history?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. I'm not sure how to give a short answer to that, but essentially I'd say, yes, there are some connections, simply because, you know, we seem to be dealing with something in terms of the black-eyed children. I think we're dealing with something that is dimensional in nature. And when you start delving into those areas, there does seem to be a lot of crossover. You know, there are connections between some of the accounts of BEKs and some of the ancient accounts of, fairy encounters, this sense of distorted time or missing time, you know, these various feelings and experiences. There are some connections in terms of, for instance, the lore of the changeling in Europe. You know, this idea that the fae would come and switch someone and take their place, essentially. And, you know, there are some correlations there. Without really going into detail, I mean, I think that's the short answer that I can give is yeah, that's something we could easily spend in, you know, a whole show exploring.
Exactly. And I've noticed that there seems to be a slight uptick in reports lately of BEK sightings. We've had a flurry of sightings here within the last couple of months. Have you been looking into some of these recent reports? What do you make of them?
Oh, God, I get so many of these on a regular basis. And what's stunning about it is that, you know, there's other people who are sort of following the phenomena and collecting reports, and other researchers, and they get different reports than I do. So there's definitely an upswing in the number of cases. And simultaneously, what's happening is that a lot of people are sort of digging back through old cases, you know, prior to television and the internet. And they're turning up a lot of the things that, you know, a lot of these old cases that clearly fit the same parameters. And that was something that I did when I researched the book. I really wanted to find, you know, what was the connection here? Is this a new phenomena with an urban legend connection, or is it something that's been here the whole time? And one of the things I found when I did my research is, if you strip out that acronym, BEK, or Black Eyed Children, you just look for the parameters of the encounters. There are a lot of old cases. It's just that people were, you know, using whatever their cultural or religious beliefs at the time were to identify the same thing. So, you know, somebody might encounter one of these things in the 1950s and, you know, say that they met a demon or something demonic, you know, or the devil, because that's the only way they had to explain it. The term wasn't around. So it's pretty stunning how many of these cases are now surfacing.
Yeah. How about you, Lyle? I remember when we had you on the show, we had a fascinating discussion about the outbreak of lizard man reports. What was that, in Georgia, I think, right?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, rather. Okay, sorry, I'm corrected here. One of the more unusual types of crypto sightings. Have we seen any recent sightings? I'm sure if there were any, you'd probably be the one that would hear about them. Have we seen any more of these types of very rare sightings?
No, I haven't heard of any credible lizard man sightings lately, or reptilian humanoid sightings, so to speak.
Right.
Now, of course, when my book came out and I did, as always, I got some additional reports from people in other places around the country that had past sightings. There were none that were, they were more current. There was one that was, I would say, within about 3 years ago. It wasn't, you know, I mean, as current as it gets. And some of those dated back, you know, to the 90s, the 80s, other things. So I did get more just from people who had really never reported it. You know, when I did the research for the book, obviously I went not only in the Bishopville Lizardman case of South Carolina, which is sort of the pinnacle famous one, but, you know, I looked at other similar reports around North America. And so it was cool to have other reports come in. But, you know, they're few and far between. They're not like Bigfoot reports where I can get, you know, multiple reports a week, not to mention all the other guys that research this that find them. But, you know, the Lizard Man, but it kind of interests me that way because it's a little more unique. It's a little more strange and obscure type of cryptid. And so it's quality over quantity, I think, in the Lizard Man research.
Yeah. How about worldwide? Is this something I would imagine with the types of folklore and legends that you see, especially in Asia, around the Nagas and in China, dragons, which are very reminiscent of a lizard man type description. What have you found about more contemporary sighting incidents or reports from around the world? Is this something that we're seeing elsewhere?
I didn't find a lot. You know, in the scope of the research, sort of I used the North American continent, which, you know, mostly in the book I focus on that one case. But, you know, I didn't do a lot of research into international. But as far as I've seen, I just haven't seen a lot of lizardman sightings on an international level. Although, you know, if you start digging back through, you know, history, folklore, and everything else, you've got a definite trend of sort of this archetype of humanoid reptilian combinations with, you know, people with lizard heads, and you've got gods and other characters. So this sort of thing has been present throughout time. And now in the modern era, I'm kind of looking at when people report seeing this more in the physical sense, not in terms right. of, you know, here's a folklore creature, but somebody actually saw something that they described as reptilian walking on two legs. It's just a frightening notion and sort of, you know, piques my interest in this sort of a modern day creature from the Black Lagoon type case. So
before we talk about the creature from the Black Lagoon. No, we're not going to talk about that. Lyle, David, Gene, and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I thought Chris was going to say the Black Lagoon.
You know, Chris, we've got some of that lore right here in the Southwest, because when you go down around the Superstition Mountains, which is another, you know, very strange area I've spent some time, there's a lot of legends revolving around these lizard beings. And you know, the tribal lore that parts of the superstitions are just taboo land. There's a legend that the king of the lizard people, you know, lives within the Superstition Mountains. And, you know, there's tribal stories about these bipedal lizard creatures that live in caves and tunnels underneath those mountains. So, you know, this is something that I think is very widespread. Like Lyle said, there's a lot of mythology around the world, and there's a lot of tribal lore from different cultures that talk about these, you know, lizard, bipedal lizard creatures. So whatever these things are, it seems to be, you know, firmly implanted to some degree in our tribal memory, so to speak.
Yeah. I just recently did a shoot out at Mount Lassen for the Mysteries of National Parks. So, and I think it's on that geo, and they wanted me to talk about reptilians that lived under Mount Lassen. So they said, Chris, why don't you tell us about the reptilians that live under Mount Lassen? And I said, well, according to my knowledge and according to my research, there's not one single reference anywhere that talks about reptilians living under Mount Lassen. And the guy laughed at me and said, okay, you're really funny. Chris, why don't you tell us about reptilians? I said, well, there is not one shred of evidence that would suggest that He realized I was serious, so he had a tough interview, very tough. And I'm sure you guys probably would have responded the same way I did. I did say that if I was a reptilian and I had a choice of where to live, I'd probably want to live somewhere in a volcano because I'm cold-blooded and I need the warmth.
Well, certainly yeah. Bigfoot would hate this part of Arizona. Like today is one of our cold days. It's 83 degrees right now in Mesa, Arizona. Now, this week, it's not going to go above 100 until Saturday, and the day the show is broadcast, it'll be 99 and raining. I guess that's not the proper place for Bigfoot, huh?
Well, no. The Mogollon Monster is very famous along the southern edge of the Colorado Plateau. We've had, like I said, sightings in 2007. I think there were five or six. We've had sightings near Ash Fork, Williams, Page Springs, up on the rim just by Lake Mary. Last year, there was a sighting last November outside of Flagstaff. So they tend to stick in the higher elevations. You don't hear of reports or claims of sightings down in the Sonoran Desert, for instance. But there was a lizard man report that was filed about 3 or 4 years ago outside of Tucson by some mountain bikers who really freaked out about it.
Now, to point out in terms of comparisons, the temperature in Williams, Arizona, as we speak, is 76 to 83 where I am, but the temperature is going to be anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees colder than the Phoenix area. Of course, Tucson is pretty hot usually.
Right. Well, I could see lizard men wanting to live in the Sonoran Desert, but Bigfoot, you know, with that big old fur coat that he's perpetually wearing, it no wonder they smell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's creating a skunk ape right there for sure.
You got it, man. You're triple digits for almost 4 months out of the year down there. And I'll tell you, there's no antiperspirant deodorant that's going to even put a dent in the smell that I smelled right at the base of Mount Shasta in 79. Oh, my God. I have never smelled anything as foul in my life. I don't know if you guys have ever smelled it, but it's not something that you can even get out of your nose. You can still smell it. So, anyway, moving right along.
Keep it down, guys.
I do have another question at the question bank for our guests, and I think this is kind of for both of you, and it comes from Greer's Meeting Planner. Now, how's that for a avatar on a forum? I guess that's homage to Stephen Greer, I would assume. Anyway, he's been a member of the Paracast for exactly 1 year. Welcome back, Greer's Meeting Planner. Assuming Sasquatch is an Earth-based mammal and product of evolution, these animals would need numbers in the hundreds to maintain a healthy breeding population. Any thoughts on how a whole breeding population may avoid discovery? Well, we've already addressed that second point, but what about the genealogy? We're talking about real small numbers of creatures. You do have to have a certain number of different genetic lines to maintain a viable population before you start running into six-toed Bigfoots with, weird physical deformities. I have heard a report of a crippled Bigfoot once, so maybe that does happen. But how do they maintain a healthy breeding population with such few numbers and so widely scattered, I guess, bands, if you will? Val, you want to tackle that one first?
Well, I think under those parameters, we would have to assume that they do, travel large, territories and that therefore intermingle with each other. And that might explain some of the sightings. They seem to be just about everywhere, but, it could be the same individuals being seen here and there as they move, and they would need to, intermingle that way. They're not just in one small area with 20 Bigfoot interbreeding. Although, of course, the interbreeding is possible, and that might explain some of the three-toed tracks, the four-toed tracks, because the feet are one of the things that will be the first to deform during low populations and inbreeding. So, the fact that we do have reports of various toes and various shapes of foot, it could explain that. But, ultimately, there would have to be enough population to sustain themselves, and they would have to have a wide range of territory to roam, you know, such as, I mean, mountain lions, they range throughout a huge territory, you know, hundreds of miles often, and, you know, they're often seen as solitary creatures or here and there, but somehow they maintain their population and breed and interbreed, avoid that. And so, you know, Bigfoot would conceivably operate the same way.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, David?
Yeah, Lyle gave a great answer. And the mountain lion analogy is a very good one. You know, we have very healthy populations of mountain lions around the country by all evidence. You know, one thing I would add on this discussion is that there's a real misconception, I think, among a lot of people that, you know, a large population of these creatures just couldn't exist without us knowing about it. And the thing is that most people live in larger cities, and, you know, they have this sort of subconscious idea that everything is sort of discovered and known by man. But the reality is very far from that. A great example to look at is the state of Utah. I'm up here doing some research now, and if you look at that state on a map, you know, there's the I-15 corridor runs right up the center of the state, and the bulk of the population in the state lives along that corridor. You go off of that very far, and you get into a lot of, you know, sort of wild, unexplored region, and this is true for a lot of states, particularly out west. There's just vast amounts of land that don't see human contact on a daily basis. So it's, to me, once you experience some of that, it's easily conceivable that there are large numbers of these creatures. And as Lyle said, they likely have a very big territory and, you know, migrate back and forth. They probably travel up into Canada and regions like that. So, you know, the potential for a pretty large population of these creatures is just that they're very spread out.
Okay, well, we have another question from Greer's meeting planner, and it's pretty simple. Bigfoot and UFOs, what connection, if any? Of course, we do have the famous Stanton Gordon, Pennsylvania case, which he's talked about on the show. That's one of the better, more compelling cases. What do you guys think? You know, Bigfoot and UFOs.
Let's save that for our final segment with David Weatherly and Lyle Blackburn. I'm so glad they're both here because I'm learning lots from this show with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I'm also learning that all those crazy voices Chris has tried are not to sound like Batman, because nobody sounds as guttural as Christian Bale. In The Dark Knight, you couldn't understand what he said. He's trying to be like Bigfoot. Okay, so the question is the possible relationship between Bigfoot and UFOs. Lyle, why don't you go on this first?
Well, I can't deny that there is some corresponding reports of those two being together. And, of course, you know, Stan's cases certainly stand out in that regard. But, I mean, the majority of Bigfoot sightings I've ever investigated did not involve any sort of UFO sighting or UFO flap or anything else. So while I can't explain why there's certain times where there's a lot of UFO sightings and there's a corresponding Bigfoot sightings, to me, there just isn't a permanent link in those, because if there was always a few of those landed and let off Bigfoots, and then people saw the Bigfoot, there would have to be the UFO sighting, because it's hard to miss UFOs typically. So, I don't know what that connection is, but I don't think that it's, exclusive that Bigfoot is of UFOs. To me, I just, again, assume that those are coincidence. Those are the more exceptional coincidence, and Bigfoot is indeed separate from an extraterrestrial.
Well, the thing is also, Chris and I have said with regard to UFOs, it may be something that's real, something that can be obviously a pretty compelling mystery, but not necessarily E.T.
I think that, I'm with Lyle. I don't think that UFOs are dropping off Sasquatch around the country or anything like that. But there is a curious connection in terms of there being a lot of cases people have, talked about both phenomena within the same space of time. And, I know in the past, I've got a huge file of these kind of cases. And, in the past, no one wanted to listen to them because, MUFON didn't want to hear anything about a UFO connected with a hairy creature. And the Bigfoot organizations, as soon as they heard the term, UFO, they said, no, you got to put your tinfoil hat on and go talk to the UFO guys. So, you know, a lot of this stuff got discarded, again, pitched to the wayside, and those are the things that really intrigue me. I find that there are high reports, just in my experience, in areas that have a wide range of anomalous activity anyway. So, you know, around the Uinta Basin is a great example. You know, there are all these different reports of these Sasquatch-like creatures and UFOs and a wide range of other phenomena. So it may be indeed that we're looking at, you know, just geographical areas that draw in these things for some reason. Or you know,
geological areas,
yeah. I think that we have to be open again and look at these areas. These areas, these window zones, you know, really compel me anyway, because you're talking about areas that can be found all over the world, really, that demonstrate a high concentration of strangeness. And there's something to that, I firmly believe. But I'm not necessarily convinced that phenomena are specifically connected, but there is something very intriguing there for sure.
And there tends to be, at least from, you know, the little that I know compared to you guys, but there tends to be a centering of a lot of these types of events around Indian reservations. Reservations tend to have quite a variety, and these things tend to crop up almost in flaps or waves, where you'll have a bunch of different types of things all going off at once. I've noticed this time and time again. Before I get into my next question, I just want to throw this one out there. In Ellsbury, Missouri, in the 70s, there was an outbreak of Momo sightings. It was a local Bigfoot that was seen along the river there, I think the Missouri River. And it was seen stealing sheep. It was fairly aggressive. And then right after that, you had quite an outbreak of cattle mutilations, which I found pretty interesting in terms of the timing. And then back in the early 70s, around Lawton, Oklahoma, you had a very celebrated case of a wild man who was dressed in clothing, but was able to leap, like, you know, off second and third story balconies, was almost like a Spring-Heeled Jack character, but completely hair covered. And one striking description was he had on a pair of pants that were about two or three sizes too tight. And he wore a plaid shirt. And then, again, you have the correlation of then cattle mutilation cases occurring in the same area. So, you know, the deeper you dig into this subject matter, I think the more compelling it all becomes. And the bigger the hole in your hair from scratching your head gets, I think. How about Bigfoot reports in conjunction with cavern systems? This is a theory that I've had for some time, and I'm wondering what you guys think. Have you noticed a correlation between areas where we have caverns and cave systems and areas that tend to have Bigfoot sightings?
You know, I'll weigh in on that one first. Not as many as I expect, in my experience, in my research. You know, I know a lot of people feel like these creatures probably utilize caves extensively, and I've seen a little bit of evidence of that, but again, not what you would really expect. They seem to be more creatures of opportunity, and whatever's in their region is what they'll utilize. Of course, a lot of people believe that they build these tree structures and so forth, but you know, you would think that if they're using caves extensively, that it would be a good place to find some solid evidence. But I really haven't seen much of that.
How about you, Lyle?
I'm trying to think of, in my area where I specifically research a lot, there isn't a lot of, you know, caves or caverns. But, you know, they're in places like Kentucky that have a little bit more of that. Certainly you have, you know, Bigfoot sightings in those areas that, you know, naturally, you know, these creatures would probably use those things. I find a lot of, in the history of Southern Bigfoot, I'm completing a new book on that subject. I find a lot of old stories involve sightings of wild men in cave areas. And that seems to be more prevalent than like modern times where, oh, you know, we were in this cave and suddenly we, you know, scared up a Bigfoot, or we saw one in proximity to a cave. So I see a lot of old reports having to do with caves. So, you know, they, you know, it's just naturally animals use caves. I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, that they would be sighted in those areas.
The guy that built my family's house in 1970 was Roger Patterson's best friend, next door neighbor, grew up with him, went to school with him, knew him. It was one of his closest friends. And he mentioned something about a enclave, a rather large population in the center of British Columbia that was only accessible by a real narrow slot opening.
If you're willing, we may pick up some of this in After the Paracast, okay? For you listeners who aren't members of Paracast Plus, check it out. David Weatherly, tell our listeners, please, where they can find more of your stuff.
Sure. Well, Wood Knots is available on Amazon.com. So is Strange Intruders. You can find more of information about what I'm up to at twocrowsparanormal.blogspot.com. That is twocrowsparanormal.blogspot.com. Hot links on there for all the books and DVDs and everything else I've got going on.
For me, visit my website at Lyle Blackburn, LYLEBlackburn.com, and that'll give you links to all the pertinent information about my books and other projects.
Okay, you can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. The Paracast is on Twitter. There are also two official Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Check them out. And if you want to get the commercial-free version of the show, it's real, real simple. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We offer the commercial-free version of this show, the exclusive After the Paracast podcast that includes extended interviews, shop talk, lots of surprising stuff, uncensored, folks. After the Paracast for the Paracast Plus, we also offer classic episodes. More of those are coming very soon now. And some of those episodes may leave the free channel and only be available in Paracast Plus. Book excerpts from the book that Chris and Ray Stanford wrote, and My Dog Sings Chopin. To learn more and about how to get free ebooks, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Lyle Blackburn, David Weatherly, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much for having me. Enjoyed it, as always.
Always a pleasure to be on. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.